The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
And now it's time for the talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello, good morning to you. 5 minutes past nine on this Wednesday, the 22nd of November. And you're very welcome along to another edition of the 9 till noon show. Our lines are open for you right now to get involved in the conversation, to start your own, pass on your own issues, tell us your own stories. Maybe it's an act of random kindness or something positive that you've seen as well. We love those chats. How do you get in contact with us? It's WhatsApps and texts to 086 60 25000, or you can send a voice note to that WhatsApp number too. If you want to give us a call, it's Caroline taking your calls with Shannon on 074 91 25000, and emails to us from wherever you are, comments@highlandradio.com. And you can also contact us across our social media, as many of you do, so we do appreciate all that contact as well. Right, let's look at what's making the pages of the newspapers today. We'll start with the locals, the Inish Times this morning. Management at Buncrana Community Hospital failed to take appropriate action after two instances where intruders entered the building. An inspection by the state's health watchdog has found the health service executive run facility on McGinn Avenue, which provides care to up to 30 residents, was found to be non-compliant with two care and welfare of residents in designated centres for older people regulations following an unannounced inspection by the Health Information and Quality Authority. That was in August of this year. The report from the inspection found that some actions were required to ensure that the providers' management systems were effective in ensuring the quality and safety of the care and services provided for the residents. The Donegal Post's front page focus today is on meaningful support being needed for restaurants, cafes and pubs in towns where a significant portion of tourism accommodation is unavailable to visitors. "We're really up against it," said Mairead Anderson, who along with her husband Gary owns Anderson's Boathouse Restaurant in Killybegs. Mairead and Gary both stress that their issue is absolutely not with the Ukrainian community. "It's with how the situation is being handled and the associated lack of communication on the part of the government. If you're going to have your business reduced, of course it's going to have a big impact," said Mairead. Her comments follow the shock news that cafes, restaurants and pubs were being excluded from the government's €10 million support fund. The fund's supposed to help businesses in areas where large numbers of rooms in local hotels and B&Bs are being used for humanitarian purposes. But it excludes cafes, restaurants and pubs, which is quite surprising. So where else does it go? On to the Finn Valley Voice this morning. Countdown on for Christmas light switch on in the towns. On in Twin Towns, I beg your pardon. The countdown is on for the Twin Towns Christmas light switch on this Sunday, the 26th of November, from 3pm to 6pm at McElhenney's car park. And just to throw out the invitation to you once again, by the way, that we'll be doing a roundup of Christmas light switch-ons or anything festive that you're doing in your community. It doesn't matter how large your town is, or if it's just a village or just a single tree, it doesn't matter. If you want a bit of publicity, get in touch with us now. We'll be doing a roundup to make sure that everyone gets fair publicity. 086 60 25000, WhatsApp and text in the details, or preferably give us a call on 074 91 25000. We might even get to have a chat to you. So if lights are going on in your area, or it doesn't have to be this weekend, or whenever it's happening, we're going to be doing a roundup. So get in touch with us if you've got something going on that you want to share more broadly to the community. The Independent tells us that the health service's financial crisis will be even worse this time next year than it is now. The head of HSC warned Health Minister Stephen Donnelly less than 24 hours before last month's budget. Mr Donnelly was also warned in an email from HSC Chief Executive Bernard Gloucester on October 9th that any cost controls to reduce the health deficit would create significant and punitive risks to the public. The email was sent after Mr McGloucester had been told that the HSC would be given less than half the extra funding it asked for in RASFOR to run the health service next year. Now, Stephen Donnelly is going to be joining us on the show on Friday as he's up here turning the sod on the new community hospital in Letterkenny, meeting too with medical representatives over concerns they've raised. A very simple question is, why are the government purse strings so tight when it comes to health? What is the logic or what is the argument being made or the justification, especially when the warning is that this is going to have negative impact out on the public? So we'll be putting that question to him. But the letter goes on to say, or the email, the position likely to face the HSE coming towards 2025 will be likely worse than today for 2024, when the 2025 doubtless increment costs will be added. Mr. Gloucester wrote to Mr. Donnelly, his Secretary General Robert Watt and HSE Chair Kieran Defain on the afternoon of October 9th. And of course, there are always increasing costs in health or any area of public spending. So you have to obviously increase the funds to cover that and then increase the funds further to improve services. We talk an awful lot about texts. You know, these texts that you receive, we talked about it yesterday and we keep mentioning it, and rightly so, because new ones come out all the time. And you could be forgiven for thinking that this is all happening in some far-flung part of the world or nothing is being done to try and tackle it. So an interesting story on the front of the Irish Times. I'm not saying these people are responsible, but it's in the same area, okay? An Irish teenager is regarded as the main suspect in an investigation by Waterford Gardaí into a significant fraud gang involved in cyber-enabled frauds. Gardaí have arrested 9 suspects and seized over €1 million of cryptocurrency, the largest ever sum of the currency seized from an organised gang involved in this kind of alleged smishing fraud, which is carried out via SMS and WhatsApp messaging, claiming to be from post offices, delivery companies or financial institutions. So they have arrested a number of people in Waterford and €1 million in cryptocurrency. The vast majority of money stolen from Irish people in frauds based around bogus text messages is usually moved abroad to the foreign criminals running the scams. However, one unusual feature of the group now under investigation is that it is allegedly Irish-led. It's understood that a key individual of interest is a young Irishman who had never come to the attention of the Garda before now. However, despite his youth, he is now a main suspect in an investigation by Waterford Gardaí that has spread as far as South Africa and Dubai. So over €1 million potentially of your money seized in cryptocurrency there. On to the Irish Daily Mail now. And I'm not just talking about this to pee off those of you that are listening to me sitting in traffic today. But Transport Minister Eamon Ryan has said the nation must prioritise bypasses as the Cabinet approved funding of €150 million to fast track the Adair bypass ahead of the Ryder Cup in 2027. The bypass is one element of the Limerick to Foynes project, which is a 33-kilometre road connecting Limerick to the port of Foynes. Speaking yesterday, Mr. Ryan and Green Party leader said that Adair will see huge benefits once the road is finished. Now, fair play to the people of Adair and those now able to go around it. But the fact that it's being fast-tracked ahead of the Ryder Cup in 2027, I suggested on social media yesterday, are there any golf clubs that could apply for a Ryder Cup in and around Letterkenny? You'd have to be successful, but maybe that's the way to get the Bonagy Link Road, the Link Bridge, progressed, because it's being fast-tracked in Adair for the Ryder Cup, and we're sitting here for generations and maybe generations to come in one of the biggest towns in the Northwest, if not the biggest town, and the calls for a Bonagy Link are still going unanswered. Work is ongoing, but when? It's been ongoing for so long. But anyway, there was a tragic story came out of Britain yesterday. 4 bodies have been found in the search for a group of teenagers who disappeared on a camping trip in Wales. 6th form college pals, Jevon Hurst, Harvey Owen, Wilf Henderson and Hugo Morris went missing on Sunday morning and were last seen in a silver Ford Fiesta. This sparked a huge search. Then yesterday, some section of road was sealed off and an investigation started. And then very shortly after, North Wales Police confirmed 4 bodies had been recovered from the car, which appeared to have left the road in a tragic accident. Superintendent Owen Lilelwyn of North Wales Police said, at present, this appears to have been a tragic accident and our thoughts are with the family and friends of the 4 young men at this very difficult time. And it's awful what the families are going through, but also in the interim until such time as the remains were discovered and the unanswered questions that they'll have that will remain unanswered in terms of how long did it take people to pass away and stuff. It's terribly, terribly sad. As is the ongoing situation in the Middle East, the Irish Sun reports that the Irish government is doing all it can to make sure Emily Hand is among the first hostages released by Hamas, Leo Varadkar has promised. The release of dozens of Israeli hostages was closer than ever last night. About 50 women and children, including 9-year-old Irish-Israeli Emily, were on the verge of being freed from tunnels in Gaza, where they've been kept for more than 6 weeks. Israeli PM Benjamin Netanyahu said, "I hope there will be good news soon." US President Joe Biden also said a deal was very, very close, and that deal has been struck now. The only thing remaining is as to when there will be a pause in the fighting to allow that exchange of people over the next 4 days. It's to be staged or staggered over the next 4 days. Whilst fighting is supposed to stop. And finally, in the Irish Mirror, a bit of a faux pas from number 10. UK Prime Minister Rishi Sunak's office was forced into a social media U-turn yesterday after appearing to use the tricolour in a post celebrating the culture of Northern Ireland. Businesses from Northern Ireland were in 10 Downing Street on Monday for a reception with the PM and his staff for an event celebrating the best of the region. The post was published on the social media app Instagram with photos of attendees at the event. A spokesperson for the PM's office admitted the post was made in error and then quickly deleted. So it says businesses from across Northern Ireland arrived to showcase some of the best produce the country has to offer, and then there is the little tricolour flag. All right, that's a run through the papers this morning. Anything catch your ear there? 086 60 25,000, the WhatsApp and text number for you. Texter says, Minister Donnelly is going to come to Donegal on Friday, and in advance of his visit, ED is being cleared out and a true picture will not be shown. Well, we've got statistics for every single day and we'll be able to see a trend of Fridays. And if it's quite obvious that this Friday is different from other Fridays, well, then we'll know and we'll talk about that as well. Right, we've been talking about people parking in disabled parking bays, and we've also been discussing this week people parking in the parent and toddler parking bays. And I believe that must have triggered Margaret to contact us. Margaret, you recently got a parking ticket in Letterkenny. Good morning to you, by the way, Margaret.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
You don't. I'm doing okay, Margaret. You don't believe you were in the wrong?
Well, I was. You know, I always parked on that particular bay, but they changed it into electric bay.
Oh.
And it's not that I parked every day of the week or every week, but any time I've been in Letterkenny at my Skelly place, I parked on there.
Yes.
And they more or less told me, well, you should have known better and you should have parked it. Didn't they park there?
And did you get to speak to the person issuing the ticket at the time, or did you make an appeal after the fact, Margaret?
I did get speaking to the person. He says, you take it up with him. And I wrote to them and they wrote back and they says, no. He said that you were on the wrong parking in that disability bay, or that electric bay, because I never seen two electric bays together. There was only one.
I would say, Margaret, you are a very unfortunate and in a small group of people who would be entitled to disabled parking, accidentally parked in an electric vehicle bay and ended up getting a €80 fine, even though you are a badge holder.
Yeah.
It's very, I think it, and was there no reasoning with the person? Did you not say, well, look, at I have a disability, or I'm at least, I have the right to a disabled badge. I've made a mistake. This used to be a disabled parking bay. You know, you're not there to try and upset any electric car drivers. And there was no negotiation with them at all.
True enough, I wasn't sticky to him or anything. I just said I didn't know.
Yeah.
As far as I was concerned, that was a disabled bay.
And you took it up with the council then, did you? Like, what, did you write to them or call them or what?
No, I wrote back to the address. I wrote back on the address.
Yes.
With the sign I got.
And you explained the situation, obviously, Margaret. What did they say back to you then?
Yeah. No, this is... That was the person that done it. If you had the ticket, had the right, because you were parking illegally in an electric bay.
Mm.
And more or less, I should have known better.
Yeah, but it was a genuine mistake.
I know it was a genuine mistake, but they wouldn't hear tell of it.
And I suppose you could contest it further, but the way it's set up, the fine would double then eventually at some point, wouldn't it? Or go up at least.
I know, but... much hassle you used to go through trying to get your point across that you were genuinely making a mistake and then just saying, oh, well, you shouldn't have done it.
But anyway, you believe it to be very unfair on you, Margaret.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Okay, well, we'll see if any other listeners have had similar experiences. Margaret, thank you very much for your time. That's Margaret, who is a badge holder. She's entitled to park in disabled parking bays, but one of the bays that used to be a disabled parking bay is now an electric vehicle charger. She says they look quite similar on first glance. The painting was faded. She pulled in there in good faith, but ended up getting an €80 ticket and appealed it and was told you were parking illegally. You have no recourse really as such from their perspective. What do you think of that? 086 60 25,000. I believe that's a parking space down at Scally Place in Letterkenny, if you're familiar with it. Has anything similar happened to you? What do you think should happen in that situation with Margaret? Now, we are joined on the programme by Orla Carmody, Age Friendly Ireland. Good morning to you, Orla. Thanks for your time.
Good morning. Lovely to be talking to you.
Yeah, it's good to chat to you. And you're encouraging businesses to work to become more age-friendly. And it's a easy argument to make, you would argue, I'm sure, Orla, if businesses take on board your advice.
Well, it's just good customer service, really, I suppose, is the way you might look at it. So Age Friendly Ireland came out of the World Health Organization, and it was a move to make every town and village and community, any place at all, a great place in which to grow old. So there's an age-friendly program manager now attached to every local authority area. And, you know, they work on the libraries and the health service and many, many kind of supports. So I'm the age-friendly business consultant, and I'm tasked with encouraging businesses to come on board the program and to become age-friendly. And the reason for this is to just demonstrate to the older consumer that they're valued, that they're going to be welcome, that there's a few little changes and supports put in place in the business to make sure that the older consumer has a comfortable experience when they shop or when they support a particular service. And we keep it fairly simple. We always say businesses should introduce three low-cost or no-cost changes to demonstrate age friendliness, and then they can come on board the program. So we've got businesses all over the country now involved. I've concentrated mainly on the big multi-branch businesses. So I'm talking about Vodafone and Bank of Ireland and AXA Insurance, FBD, the Money Advice Bureaus, the Citizens Information Offices, lots of businesses.
Well, let's
like
just
that.
Pick one of those out for an example, even maybe perhaps all you don't want to Vodafone. They don't take cash. A lot of people would say that's not very age-friendly.
No, that's very true. And an older person might be able to cope with that. Indeed, you're so right. But what they have done is, in many of the Vodafone branches, for example, they've set aside special times on Saturday mornings or Friday mornings, nice and early, because older people usually get out and about more early than people who are at work, for example. And they've allocated extra time. So each of the customer service agents now knows that if an older person comes in, they're not rushed. They're not rushing on to the next customer. If someone to sit down, and they will explain things very thoroughly to them. So that's one of the changes they brought in Vodafone.
So just in relation to something like that, Orla, is that what older people want to because they get up early to have a particular time in the morning with chairs? Is that what inclusivity feels like?
Well, it's one of the things, but I suppose the key thing is that there's no generic approach to this, because not all older people are the same. You have the younger older age category, which is age 55 to 75 approximately, and then you have the older category, which is 75 to 95, and that's a huge breadth of difference. And everybody is going to have different needs and requirements in that. I suppose one of the pieces of work we did was we began encouraging advertisers to be more diverse in the way they approach people using different products. Because sometimes advertisers act like you stop using all the wide range of products and services when you get older, a certain age. All you're interested in buying are plots and cemeteries and stair lifts for your home.
Hearing aids and glasses. If you think of the only advertising really that's targeting older people is, you know, funerals, cremation, eyesight, teeth and hearing. And yet the older population are huge spenders and probably huge in-store spenders. All the talk of around Black Friday month, as it is now really effectively, is younger people shopping online. The mainstay of a lot of these businesses is the older generation shopping in person.
Shopper, they like to shop, they have time to shop, they love the social interaction of it, they like getting out and about. And, you know, they're the people who are bringing the footfall back into the main street, not necessarily, as you say, the younger people who do it online. But if you think logically about the older people and the way they consume, and we estimate that older people control 50% of all consumer spending right across the Western world, and that percentage rises higher in areas like food and clothing and hotel and restaurants. But if you think about it, my own mum is 93, and thankfully she's hale and hearty and living alone. Well, her mother died in her mid-60s. So I often think of how many tubes of toothpaste did my mother consume in the extra 30 years she has been blessed with on this planet? How many trips did she go on? How many restaurants did she eat in? How many pairs of shoes did she buy? And, like, that is really extraordinary. And that longevity we're seeing is thanks to better healthcare, better transport, better housing, even our awareness that we know to stay fitter and healthier and to eat better and take exercise. And we're seeing that in longevity. The longevity we're seeing in the world at the moment is just extraordinary. We've never seen it on the planet before.
It is. But when you do look around, and I mean, obviously some businesses will make some inroads, but it seems to be going in the other direction, that everything is just as quick as you can. That race at the checkout in your local supermarket, for an example. We do have examples in other countries whereby there are particular aisles that things move a little bit slower, which I think it should be more broadly available. But also, you know, more and more technology, self-checkouts, all of this kind of stuff. It seems really we're going in the other direction as to where you want us to be going, Orla.
Not necessarily. I don't see them as kind of mutually exclusive, because I do know younger people want convenience and they want a self-checkout and they want all of that. But I think the ideal is where a supermarket, exactly as you've mentioned, in the Netherlands, they started that, the whole slow checkout idea, an idea where you can take your time and have the chat and have time for those pleasantries, which are very important. So I think it's a dual approach to this, and I'd love to see the supermarket groups here, yes, putting in all the self-service on one side of the checkouts, but on the other side, keeping the traditional checkouts, and that older people can know, you know what, I can take my time here, I'm not going to be annoying the person behind me. One of the things that we hear, and we have an older person's council in every local authority area in the country, and we really listen to what they say. It's that whole thing of not about us, without us. We never assume we know what older people want. We ask them. And the older person's councils are the eyes and ears on the ground, and they really feed back some great information to us. They always say things like, one of the things they dread most about aging is that you would be considered irrelevant, or that somebody behind a cash desk or at a reception somewhere might roll their eyes or look impatient because you're a bit slower taking your credit card out of your wallet, or because you've forgotten your reading glasses and you can't make out the form. And it's those little, you know, sort of body language things that really impact on an older person. And so I'm always saying, when I deliver the training course that we ask the businesses to come on, I always say, manage the face, guys, manage the face. Don't give it away, you know, and make that eye contact, smile, have the few words. I think during COVID, we became really aware of that when an older person did go out, say, and start shopping or doing whatever they had to do, that might have been the only conversation they had that week if they live alone.
Yeah.
I think a lot of businesses were very respectful and very mindful of that, and I think did give them the time.
Okay, great stuff, Orla. Thanks for your time this morning. I really do appreciate it. Take care of yourself. For Orla Carmody there, Age Friendly Ireland, talking about reading things. I don't know, understand why you have to have the cooking instructions for stuff that you buy in shops so small. It's tiny. I wish they'd increase the size of it. And my eyes aren't bad. I don't need glasses just yet. I probably do. But anyway, I'm struggling on. they have the writing so small, and also start including some cooking instructions for air fryers as well. I don't know why they don't. I'd go to that shop. Right, okay. Speaking of shopping, there was a post on our social medias, Dun Stores Shops, the shop and save vouchers expiring. It's off the back of a number of listeners who've got in touch to say that Dun Stores Shop and Save vouchers have shortened their validity date, meaning people are unable to spend them in the time frame. And we asked, has this happened to you and has it affected your shopping habits? Some of your comments here, yes, it did. And as a result, over a short period of time, I lost €35 worth of vouchers. I didn't even realise until a very nice checkout assistant explained to me when I went to use them and they'd expired. That's a €35 increase in someone's shopping bill there. Another, same happened to me. I was raging. Another, same as that, €35 wiped out. Another, yes, it happened to me, €50 lost in vouchers. Despite all their ads, they never mentioned they reduced the amount of days the vouchers were valid for. Another, yes, it happened to me and I don't go as often to Dunn's anymore. I always done a big shop every fortnight and now it doesn't work for me anymore. There's a great group called Dun Stores Voucher Swap or Giveaway to ask for vouchers, as people are always stuck now with less days to use their vouchers, or if you can't use, to give it away, which seems quite nice. €10 voucher valid for 10 days and 5 for 7 days. Just checked my app and still the same. Bit of confusion for another customer there. Another, yes, vouchers only last for 10 days now. Always shopped every 2 weeks, so they are no good to me. It's kind of clever, isn't it? The vouchers are still there, but you shorten it to 10 days when people have a 2 week shopping, probably have it. And they would know people's shopping habits. Yes, they must want you running in there every day, says another. Another, yes, I've lost vouchers too as a result of the short time frame in them. Disappointing. Yeah, found that myself. Not enough time to spend them. Another, yes, I shopped every 2 weeks, so changed where I shopped. They did it every year at this time. It goes back to normal in January, says another. There's an online group, just swap and share. It's easy. And another here, Super Value gives you 7 days. It should be longer for people that live on their own. I do my shopping every fortnight, so I'm losing out. And on it goes. A few people saying they're shopping elsewhere, but a few people saying that it's only around this time of year that they tend to shorten that window and it returns to the 14 days in January. Any further insight into that, let us know. 086 60 25000. Anyone in the Beaches Ballybuffet had their coal stolen, asks a listener. We think ours has been. Interesting to see if anyone else feels the same. So coal has disappeared about the amount whereby they believe it has, but want a bit of validation. So do you live in the Beaches area of Ballybuffet? Have you had your coal stolen? Get in touch with us, because that listener wants to know. Hi, Greg. Myself and my partner recently became parents to a little boy, but he came a lot earlier than he was meant to come. He came when he was 28 weeks. We're from Donegal, but we've had to go to Dublin, as that was the hospital that could have our baby that early. Don't get me wrong, the staff in the hospital are lovely, and they care for all the young premature babies very well each and every day. We wouldn't change the fact we're down here, but when the baby was born, we had to travel up and down on a daily basis to see our baby in Dublin. I went to a local councillor for some help with accommodation, as there is a waiting list for the accommodation. The local councillor went to a local TD and he was to speak to the Minister for Health, and they'd done nothing. He gave me a link for the house with a phone number, which I already rang. When I went to the councillor, I told him that money was very short and didn't have much, as we're a young couple. And why the government won't help if you ask for it? We are financially broke. I have to keep the place we have in Donegal, so money is to be put away for that, and then have to keep ourselves going when down in Dublin. I thought that when you went to your local councillors, they might help. I had the Fine Gael and are in power. They would try and help somehow, but I was brushed under the carpet and have had to sort everything out. Did you go to... I'm not taking away from your point, I understand. And listen, I hope everything's going well for you and you as a family all get home really short, really soon. But with the Department of... Welfare not be able to help out in that regard, I wonder. You know, I don't know how it is now, but back in the day, there was a... I can't remember the name either. I'm blank today for some reason. But I wonder, would there be any support from welfare in that regard that might be able to help you through? I can't remember the exact name of it, but look, we'll look into that as well. Hi, Greg. I highlighted and challenged the senior manager of a government agency over the cover-up of criminal fraud, and since I've done this, I've been facing direct and indirect reprisal. Give us more details. That should not be the case. What if it's management? We were talking about bullying yesterday and the importance of businesses making sure there's no bullying going on in the workplace. But this caller asks, what if it's the management that does the bullying and the supervisors are all stuck up management's backside and related? Nobody to report them to or you will be forced out. Well, there's always. I mean, do they have a HR company? I understand exactly where you're coming from. And I know constructive dismissal and all that type of stuff. If you can move, though, why be unhappy? If you can at all move, you should. We waited 3.5 weeks for a bed and a chair for a cancer patient to come. By the time it all came, the patient was back in the hospital. I was told not to touch it because if I damaged it, I would be held responsible. Now I'm told that there's no staff for 2 to 3 weeks to put it in my garage or deliver it back to the stores itself. This is disgraceful, yet patients are sitting waiting on this equipment to help their loved ones. Yeah, indeed, I've heard of that stuff before, medical equipment. Hi, Greg. I've been waiting over 16 years for Gardaí to take a statement in regards to sexual abuse, and any statements I've made as a child have disappeared, and notes regarding sexual abuse while in foster care have gone missing. Even the guard and social worker that took them don't know where they went. I'm just wondering, is there anyone else in the same position? Why would you have to wait 16 years for Gardaí to take a statement? I mean, if you say that you were the victim of a crime, you should literally, should you not, be able to walk into the Gardaí station today and say, I was the victim of a crime 16 years ago and I wish to make a statement. I wouldn't be sitting around waiting for them to call. Maybe I'm being naive there and there's different rules for historic cases, but if you are the victim of a crime, you shouldn't have to wait for your statement to be taken. Okay, Gary Anderson is the co-owner of Killybegs Seafood Shack and Anderson's Boathouse Restaurant and joins us on the programme now. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning, how are you?
I'm doing okay. Right, what is the impact on our response to the war in Ukraine had on Killybegs and your business, I suppose?
It's really hampered our ability to trade, especially in the midweek period where we'd have been depending on day trippers, visitors coming and staying in the town. As it would traditionally be quieter at this time of the year, it's really dropped off the cliff edge this year. Because there's very, very little hotel accommodation available in the town. Killybegs is a very industrial town. There's an awful lot of our existing accommodation now taken up with people that are actually working on projects within the fishing industry, the boat building industry, and even the town regeneration. So it's leaving very little for what we would consider to be our customer base of visitors to come and stay.
And it's really quite frustrating, isn't it? Because Killybegs stock is really quite high at the moment, you know, with the cruise ships coming in, the development that's taking place, you know, its general broad representation. Now is the time you would be hoping in your business to be sort of capitalising on that high stock, but it's not the case at all.
No, well, that's true. Like, I mean, Killybegs have been moving, you know, in a very positive way towards tourism. And the need, even when we had two hotels and the big guest house that was kind of providing budget accommodation available to us. You know, we were at the point of needing more accommodation because, you know, Sleeve League being such a visitor attraction, we were kind of becoming the gateway town to Sleeve League. And that's really just ground to a halt. I mean, this summer didn't perform the way other summers have done. We've, you know, seen big reductions in our numbers. And that's just due to the fact that people can still visit Sleeve League, but they can't stay locally. And that's really hampering the nighttime economy in Killybegs.
And it leaves you in a difficult position in that, you know, you're on the record saying that you understand what we have to do here. You're not speaking out in any way to try and, you know, make the Ukrainian community feel uncomfortable, but you also do have to speak out to protect your business interests as well. And you know, fair play for speaking out and striking that balance in the conversation, because it's a tough one. This is your livelihood and your family and your future.
Yeah, and our staff, I mean, they're getting reduced hours now in a way that we wouldn't have foreseen in the past. And it's, you know, that impacts everybody. Everybody's got rent to pay, a mortgage to pay. and they depend on us to provide them with the work in order to do that. And you feel that you're not fulfilling your commitment to your staff as well. But I mean, Donegal really needs an increase in population. We need this Ukrainian influx of people to come and stay and live and become part of our communities. But what's not healthy is the fact that our hotels are taken up and there's no light at the end of the tunnel. There's no sign of this easing. Mm. You know, every other day you read there's a new hotel going over to direct provision or whatever they want to call it. And that's just taking jobs out. It's taking money out of the economy. It's affecting our suppliers. Well, not the suppliers so much because they're still supplying the hotels and with the food. But, it is. It's having a big impact on local economies.
So just to give us an idea, Gary, you've been given an example of someone visiting the area. I think it was Carrick they were going to, and they had an overnight stay but struggled to get accommodation.
Yeah, they were travelling for a funeral, and the closest they could stay was Bundoran. No, that was during the summer months.
Wow.
We've got the regeneration going on in Killybegs. There's people that are working on that are actually having to stay in Ballybuffet at the moment in order to commute now to Killybegs to do their part of the project. And it just doesn't seem normal that we're giving up such a large percentage of what we have as a community. What we need is a community to continue to grow, and there's no, there's no plan to change this or to, there's no developments going on to build housing for the Ukrainians that have come here. It just seems that they live in hotels now, and there's no future for them either, if that's what the best our government are going to provide them with.
And the difficulty is,
we need to integrate them.
You're not going to get many in the hotel industry that are part of these schemes speaking out either, because they effectively have 100% capacity 365 days of the year. So, in reality, from a business perspective, they're all right. We don't seem to have any alternative plans. So you're looking at, what's 2024 looking like? What's 2025 looking at? There's no plan, no solution, no nothing. So you believe COVID-type support should be brought in to support businesses like yours? I mean, that 10 million euro announcement, €10 million support fund announced by the government, I mean, that's spread very thinly as is, but it doesn't apply to businesses like yours. You're looking for a more coordinated response.
If I could get the perfect scenario, it would be something that helped subsidise wages at the moment to keep your employees in a comfortable lifestyle. You know, the country seems to be able to find money for everything else, but we need to keep people working. On a night when you're doing maybe 10 customers, it's just not viable to have 5 or 6 staff working. So it's impacting everybody's livelihoods, but we need to find a way of supporting the staff in hospitality that have been put in very short time as a result of the downturn in the tourism economy.
I presume, too, we need to sort of have a proper conversation about this. I mean, obviously, the hotel solution is good for the government. It helps in what they're doing. It's good for the hotel industry, those that are involved in it, so they're not saying anything. So who's going to drive change here? Do you know what I mean? I think there needs to be a conversation whereby all parties get a say and say, what is the short, medium and long-term plans here? Because this is unsustainable. We supported businesses during COVID, so jobs would be there once COVID was over. That's what we were being told. What are we doing now to to support businesses so that jobs and businesses will be there if and when the hotel accommodation returns to tourism?
Yeah, I mean, we have to look at that, and we're affecting future markets when people can't come and stay. And Donegal was never a bright spot for tourism. The Wild Atlantic Way has been massively, positive in bringing people to Donegal. But, if you can't come and stay here, which we're, I think, about 55% of our hotel accommodation is occupied at the moment, it makes growth look very bleak for the future, because every customer that you get to the county brings another customer in the future.
Mm-hmm. So and people, Daisy Chain, on a visit, they go to Bundoran or Donegal Town. It's already been a struggle sometimes to try and get them to come on overnight or stay in Killybegs and then on further up the west. If you affect, it's like the sea almost. Yeah. If you take a species out of it, it affects the general sort of culture of the water, if you know what I mean. And these changes, yeah, it's going to change things that will be very hard to get back to the way it were, I think, if we don't start addressing it now. The ecosystem will change beyond, yeah, repair.
Well, you take an average hotel. I mean, in 2023, they'll have bookings out for 2024 into the summer season. You know, they've got a book of business built up already. But when they're not actively seeking a book of business, when and if this situation changes, it's going to put them under an awful lot of financial pressure to actually ride out the storm until such a point as they've built up a regular repeat clientele again. You know, you're effectively telling the people that were coming to you that we don't want you anymore. And you do that for 2 or 3 years, their habits will change. I see it with customers that used to come and stay in one of our hotels, and I've seen them in the restaurant once this year, but they've now moved to a different town because they just can't continue to repeat coming in from Northern Ireland. They can't continue to come down as regular as what they used to. It doesn't work for them anymore.
And also, too, and as I say, Gary, you've done it very eloquently in speaking out, that we are somewhat hamstrung, although not on this programme, but you can be somewhat hamstrung in that you feel that if you speak out, your words could be twisted to be anti-something or other, when it's clear that that's not the case, Gary, and you've emphasised that a number of times. But there are others that probably are going, yeah, I agree, but I don't want to speak out because I don't want to be labelled anti-this, that or the other. But that we need to be able to have open conversations that don't hurt people because, you know, these are jobs, livelihoods, regions that could change beyond recognition in years to come.
Yeah, I'm not anti-anything. Donegal suffered from depopulation going with the last number of censuses over and over again. We have this issue of young people not being able to find housing, and the type of jobs that they're actually training for up here in Donegal don't exist on a large scale. And they're emigrating. So we need to replace that lost generation that happens every single year, unfortunately, with a new generation. And be that, you know, Ukrainians that we've brought in, we need them living here in Donegal, working in Donegal, becoming part of the fabric of society. But at the moment, they're just in limbo. You know, it's not a healthy situation. And there's no, I mean, if there was a big development and you've seen the council we're putting in, be it trailer parks or whatever type of temporary, semi-permanent accommodation, we would know that there was an end in sight. But right now, there's no end in sight.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's no way you can plan for the future in hospitality as it stands right
now. And we can't forget, too, that we've been conditioned for hospitality and tourism to be one of our key sources of income in this country and employment, or in this county, sorry. Do you know what I mean? It's been set up mm-hmm. like that. So, right, okay, Gary, listen, thanks for your time. I appreciate your comments and you're coming on okay. and making them with us. Take care. A caller says, in Milford, we didn't have the same amount of tourists as this part of the county, or Killybegs, that is. It's ignored. Sorry, let me read that again. In Milford, we didn't have the same amount of tourists as this part of the county is ignored regarding tourists. But I must say, we are delighted to have our Ukrainian friends in our town who are really integrated into the community and are circulating more money in our area. So it's a bonus for us in Milford to have Ukrainians in the town, as it is in Killybegs. But the problem is that the accommodation means that tourists aren't also able to come and stay, or overnighters, you know, not tourists. Right, okay, one more before we go to a break. Mobile phones are not receiving or making calls in the Clonmany and Buncrana area for the past few days. Network is LYCA Mobile, which is probably piggybacking off one of the main providers. I don't know what's going on there. Anyone have any insight? Let us know. Right, the Silver Tassie Hotel and Seascape Spa are our sponsors for this week. And as an end-of-week prize, they're giving away their Relaxation Heaven package. It's a cracker. We have one question running all week. The winner will be announced on Friday. Of course, it's free for you to enter. We're using the regular telephone numbers. Here's the details as we head towards the news and obituary notices.